Although he's best known as a writer, William Gass earns his living as a professor of philosophy at Washington University in St. Louis. His background in philosophy, Gass says, gives him a different view to language than that of people with backgrounds in English.
I come at things conceptually in a way that I think most writers who are writing fiction, at any rate, don't. And I have a great love of ideas as things that are to be explored in almost a fictional vein. Of course, a lot of my colleagues are interested in the truth of ideas almost solely, and that's what a traditional philosopher should be doing. But I think, by and large, I'm concerned with the playing with ideas as much as anything else. And there's a lot of very excellent fiction from Europe in particular with this, on Borges and Calvino and people like that.
What place does the idea of mystery play in here? I mean, if you're not really looking for the truth of ideas, then are you accepting that there's mystery in them, that they can't be found, they can't be proved,
I sort of suspend that. Instead of being quite concerned about, it's not a negligible factor, but instead of being quite concerned about whether they're true, I'm interested in how they develop, how they connect with other ideas, and how they're used to construct really fictional pictures of reality. And then people go and live in them, like so many houses. The fact that so many of these constructions are contradictory, they're really, somebody's got to be living in a falsehoods, and mostly, I think. But once you waive the, or not quite so concerned with whether it's true or false, but rather how it feels to be there and what's going on inside these ideas and what kind of person you have to be to believe them and so on, because most people, maybe everybody, contrary to what philosophers would like to think, believe things for bad reasons. Not good ones, you know.
Well, this sort of goes back, this discussion, to the notion of literature as redemption, the redemptive qualities of mm-hmm. literature, and you would refute that literature has redemptive power.
It has failed, if it's supposed to. I think it is, that is, if you're going to redeem people morally, it may very well be that the arts in general are the ultimately good things in the world. That and yeah right, or as I would think too, the pursuit of true knowledge in a broad and really investigative scientific sense, as opposed to niggling and petty stuff, that too, those values may be very, very powerful, but the sense of a beauty, for example, is not a guarantee of a good person. It's just not, I don't think. It may be that you get a sensitive person, you may have a cultivated person of a certain sort, but they still cheat at the bank, or, you know, it just doesn't work. It ought to, you know, but...
How many people can live this way, though, do you think, without a defined belief system, who can just...
Well, it's difficult for people. It's often been said to be impossible. Nietzsche proposed a life as an ideal that was lived without illusions. I think that's a wonderful ideal. It's an ideal of rationalist philosophers, namely that it's really a crime, quotes around crime, to have your head full of nonsense and to believe things which you don't have proper grounding for. And I think that's true, but it's also true that people may really not be able to face a world which is that Spartan intellectually Spartan and emotionally forbidding.
And
so they invent, you know.
Right, sure, and it's really impossible not to have some illusions. I mean, or if you may think you don't have any, but, you know, look at Rashomon or something.
Oh,
we
sure.
each see things
oh, yeah.
in
You're
the
aware
light that
of
makes
possible.
Us most.
You should be aware of possible error, the fact that you may indeed be, involved in inventing illusions of your own.
Well, you have to
but there's
yourself,
a
too.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, yeah, but if you're really, you know, the loss of another idea is just an advance, I think. I mean, the less you believe, the better off you are. That makes me a minimalist from the point of view of ideology. The world is suffering severely from belief.
The more you know and the less you believe.
I think absolutely. I mean, the more you know, what you know is that things aren't true. Mm-hmm. That's what you know more than anything else. It's not that you have some thing to put in their place. I don't. But I know, as I have a great conviction, that most of the things which I teach even and admire are not true. They may be all the greater for it. There are conceptual pictures of the universe which are absolutely stunning. They don't fit, but they're wonderful. You know, and so I can really enjoy those. Whereas if I'm still clinging, you see, to the notion that they've got to be true, then I have to put them down. I have to say, this is silly. It's wrong. It's this and that. Confused.
But when you're writing, are you looking for truths? I mean,
no,
are you is that
all.
In your mind at all?
Not at all. No, I'm listening. I'm looking for the development of the material out of what I've got into some shape.
Because you are dealing with ideas.
Oh, yeah,
as well
that's
as
right.
With words.
That's right. But the ideas are being developed not in terms of their logic, though, or argumentative quality or factual truth, but their metaphorical power, their emotional, the richness of their meaning, the traditions that they invoke, etc., and not the other at all. Or rarely, very rarely. When you study the history of philosophy as a history rather than as a discipline concerned with the truth, but just see how ideas play in history, it's just almost the last thing that people say they believe them because they're true, but it's so obvious that that's not why they believe them. They believe them for all kinds of other reasons. It, in many ways, or it makes somebody's life easier. Because, as Nietzsche pointed out, many have, Marx did, Freud has, that ideas and theories and ideologies are used by a ruling group to manipulate others, etc., to sell products, to justify criminal action, to, you know, whatever. So there are lots of ways of doing that. I think one of the things that philosophy ought to do is to make you very alert to all of those dangers, and to always ask the question, who is profiting from the fact that I believe such and such? Is this belief make me a tool of somebody else?